place. Lord, you tell us to come before your throne in our time of need. And Lord, we know that we can come in because we are covered in the blood. You see us as holy and as blameless, and you hear our prayers, Lord. Father, first of all, I want to lift up Wayne and Sherry as they're ministering today and also preparing for their return. Lord, that hearts would be open, minds would be open to receive what they have today. And Lord, that they would return safely to us. Lord, we thank you for health. We thank you once again for the provision for them to be there. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that is upon all of us as they went and we went with them in the Spirit. So we thank you for their safe return this week. Also, Mary Jo Schroeder had a knee operation this week. And Lord, we just want to lift up Mary Jo to you. The surgery went well. And we are just asking, Lord, for a quick recovery. Lord, we ask for a minimum of pain. Lord, to get Mary Jo back on her feet again and doing the things that she loves to do. We also want to lift up Don Carlson, who had back surgery this week. They inserted a device into his back to help relieve the pain. And Father, we thank you that that also went well. And Lord, we thank you for a quick recovery for that. Lord, we just ask for wisdom for the doctors and those that will take a look at this device now and try and set it, adjust it to where it gives Don the relief that he so desires. And Lord, we thank you that you will grant that to him. So Lord, we just lift up Don. Thank you for it once again for just a quick return to us, Lord. Sharon Moyle, her stepson found out that he has larynx cancer, and they did operate and they did take some of it, as far as we know. So, Lord, we just want to lift up Sharon. We want to lift up Larry. And Lord, we know that he is struggling with this appearance of cancer. We're not sure that he's saved. Lord, so first of all, we just ask that in this time of looking at and thinking about mortality, Lord, that laborers would cross Larry's path, that would bring the word, bring the gospel to him, and Lord, that you would grant to him repentance, have his mind and his heart ready to receive your word, the light, and receive Jesus to come into the kingdom. Lord, we ask for comfort for the family as they go through this. Lord, if there's anyone else in the family that needs to know you as Savior and Lord, we pray for laborers to touch them also. And Rebecca Cole, her son-in-law, brother-in-law, thank you. Rebecca Cole's brother-in-law is in hospice and passing away and may even have passed away already. So we just want to lift up Rebecca and the family. And Lord, again, we don't know if the brother-in-law has received you or not. He may have. But Lord, if there's time, let the words that Rebecca spoke to him bear fruit, Lord. Let him come to know you as Savior and Lord as he exits this earth. Father, we pray for the family, that you would comfort them, give them peace, Lord. And also, when the families are thinking about their mortality, that you can use that with laborers, with Rebecca, Lord, to share the gospel, to receive the gospel, to come in to your kingdom. And Lord, for any of those that are sick in our midst, we always look to you as being our healer. We ask you to touch them and to heal them, Lord, even now, and return them to health. And for those that are having any procedures this week, Lord, we lift them up. And we just ask that you would be with doctors and with nurses as they do these operations, Lord, and that everything will go well. There will be a quick recovery, a minimum of pain, Lord, and an opportunity to give you glory in all of these things. And Lord, we lift up all of these things to you, and knowing that you care for us, Lord, that you want us to be well, that you want us to prosper, and we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Last week, we talked about anxiousness, worry, and fear, and as I was thinking about this week, I didn't know what I was doing this week yet, and I believe the Lord come back and said, you know, maybe the thing that we need to talk about or you need to talk about to this group is contentment, being content in the Lord. And I wanted to start in Philippians chapter 4 and starting in 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. They were preparing a gift for Paul and for his ministry, and now it's coming. And in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this privilege to be able to share with this family that are here and those that are online. Lord, and I just ask you to speak through me by your Spirit. Lord, you know all the thoughts that are rumbling around. And Lord, just bring them out and bring them order. And Lord, that we may see the truth that you have for us, the promise that you have for us, that we can be content even in these perilous times that we find ourselves in. So we just thank you for this time. I want to give you praise and honor and glory in everything that we do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, contentment. Being content in all situations. Another word that is translated for content in Scripture is the word satisfied. All of us, are we satisfied in the Lord? I am using the new Bill Bradshaw. I am using the new King James Version. That's right. I probably switched on you, didn't I? Yes. I'm sorry. All right. So, contentment. If you'd go over to 1 Timothy 6. Paul, writing to Timothy, verse 6 through 8. Paul tells Timothy, he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can take nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. If you remember last week, that's what we talked about out of Luke chapter 12, that we shouldn't be concerned about what we eat or how we'll be clothed, because the Lord knows that we need those things. And we can rest that he will meet those needs for us. So, again, in the times that we find ourselves, and even in our early walk as a believer, we can see the craziness that's going on in the world right now. We can see the world closing in on Christians and taking away freedoms and wanting to, you know, basically eliminate us. We are a thorn in the side of secularism and materialism. And they want to shut us up. And we know that even as Paul and the disciples, the apostles, They were not afraid to speak out into their perverse generation that they were in. And God is calling you and I to be the same way and to just trust God in every situation. He has a plan for your life. His plan for you is a plan for good and not for evil. And we need to learn to trust that. And I see that Paul says that in Philippians 4:11. He says, Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. He learned. He wasn't there immediately. It wasn't something that God dropped on him instantly. But over time, over situations, and over circumstances, he learned to be content. And he is doing the same thing with you and I, and hopefully we all recognize it. That the circumstances that we find ourselves in have been ordained by God and are for a purpose. And much of the purpose is to put our faith and put our trust in God. Now, some of the things that he's doing are, you know, good. And some of the things that he's doing, you know, like the surgeries that we just talked about, the sicknesses, and God uses those things. Sometimes when we're healthy, we have a tendency maybe not to look for God, to look to God, to be concerned about God. But when things start to go bad, suddenly we're praying. We're looking to the Lord. We're looking to God. Well, he uses that to be able to bring us to that place, bring us to the end of ourselves. Coming to the end of ourselves is when we will become totally dependent upon God, which is the way that he created us. He didn't create us to be self-sufficient. He didn't create us to work out all of our own problems and all of our occasions and everything ourselves. He created us to be dependent upon him and to be dependent upon one another, as we'll see here in a little bit. So we need to have a mindset that God is teaching us to be content. And we need to focus on that and to learn that contentment. Would you agree with that? How many of you feel like you've reached full contentment? I'm not there either. And man, this kind of hit me right between the eyes and kind of gave me a new focus, you know, for the future here is to learn to be content. If we're complaining about things, if we're grumbling about things, what are we doing? We're saying, God, you're not strong enough for this situation. You're not powerful enough for this situation. And I don't think any of us really have that in our mind when we're doing it, but that's what we're saying. We're saying we don't trust God. We don't trust that God's plan for us is a plan for good. We're questioning God. And we need to recognize that that is something that needs to change. We talked about transforming mind, conforming our will, conforming our heart in the song. We need to be about the business of doing that. So in these times, who knows? You know, we've been hearing for a while now that persecution is kind of closing in on us, and we may personally suffer some of that. But the Lord wants us to get to a place where we're content in him, so that if that should happen, if we should be persecuted, if we should be called to give our lives, that we are ready and willing to do that and just trust the Lord. Now, that is hard. It's easy to say, right? I hope to God that I am that way if it ever comes about. But it should be on our minds that in everything, What does the Bible say? In everything, give thanks, right? And we'll read that here in a little bit too. So we're looking at being satisfied in the Lord. And if you would go to Psalm 36. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. We all know about David, and we know that David is the author of most of the Psalms. We know what his life was like. He was chased by Saul, who wanted to kill him. He was out in front of other countries, other kings, other people that wanted to kill him. We have his sin with Bathsheba. And these things happened to him for a purpose. And one of the purposes is the book of Psalms. I don't believe, I think this is a true statement, that there is not any emotion, any mindset, or anything that is not covered by David in the Psalms. I find myself going there over and over and over again, because what David will do is he will let us know the situation that he's in, how he's feeling about it, what his emotions are, and his emotions and feelings always turn to God, to trust God in the situation that he finds himself in, knowing that God, again, is working out his plan, working out his will. So, in Psalm 36, this is on man's wickedness, evil people, and then also godly people. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Paul tells us that in Romans. There is no fear before the world's eyes. There's no fear of God. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. That is the evil, not satisfied person. Verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Loving kindness there is a loyal love. It's a covenantal love. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied. That's the word we're looking for. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Those that are in the Lord, in his covenant, under his loving kindness, under his loyal love, are to be abundantly satisfied. Psalm 63. I'm going to start in verse 1 also here. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. His loyal love is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Psalm 65. Four and five. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. Once again, being satisfied, David finding his satisfaction in the Lord. Psalm 107. I'm going to start in verse 1 here also. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody? So, I am in 107, verse 1. That's not it. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. And he gives an example of the Israelites. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. All of this gets summed up in a psalm that we touched on last week, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, if we go back to Philippians chapter 4, I remember the order by the GE phone company. GE, Galatians, Ephesians, phone, Philippians, company, Colossians. GE phone company, just in case you're interested. All right. And just remember that Joshua judges Ruth also. Okay. All right. So Philippians chapter 4. Paul, talking about being conformed, says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. One of the steps to contentment is just recognizing how much God loves you and I. He loves you more than we can even imagine, more than we can even understand. We should do this. We should care about those that are around us in the same way. We should love one another as we are loved. kind of brings to mind all of the one another's that are in Scripture. But here, love is one of the things that we need on a road to being content, to being satisfied. And he talks about it here in verse 2. He says, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul shows us the concern, the love that he has for specific people in a specific church here. And we know that this was true of all of the churches that Paul founded or that Paul visited. He cared for the people. He wanted to see them to grow in their knowledge of God, their faith in God, and he longed for that. We should be longing for one another also to grow, to encourage one another, to grow in the things of God. In verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Another step to contentment is joy. It's a joy that's a choice. It's not a joy that comes out of circumstances, because a lot of our circumstances don't make us joyful, don't make us happy, right? But in the Lord, recognizing that the Lord is in that circumstance, we can choose to rejoice. We can choose to be joyful. Amen? In verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness, or let your calmness, be known to all men. The only way that we can be calm in what we find ourselves in today is to be content in the Lord. To realize his faithfulness and his righteousness and his promises, and rest in those and trust in those. We can be calm in the situations that we face. The Lord is at hand. With Jesus coming back soon, I believe, and I think most of you believe, and with the rise in the perilous times and the anxious times, we need this calmness. We need this calmness to speak to other people and cause them to ask us, why are you so calm in this situation? Why are you so hopeful in this situation? And open a door and give us an opportunity to be able to share the gospel. Because it's only in Jesus Christ that we have this calmness. It's only in Jesus Christ that they will have calmness, that they will have hope. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And we talked about this last week in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We prayed earlier about coming into the throne room of God, knowing that he has prepared the way for us. The blood of Christ covers us. We can go into his throne room at any time and request any need that we have. And Paul tells us, instead of being anxious, instead of being fearful, instead of worrying like we talked last week, come to God in prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And what? In that calmness, in that trust, in that faith in God, what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want the peace of God in all situations. I think you do too. And we pray this continually for people, that as they pray about the situations, as they pray about sickness, as they pray about surgeries, operations, loss of jobs, loss of a spouse, all of the things that come our way, that we would get that this has not taken God by surprise, this was in the plan, and that we can have peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding in any situation that we find ourselves in. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He tells us what our mindset needs to be. Not on the situation, not on the problem, but on God, on the things that we know that are true. We probably could go through each one of these words and talk about what they mean, but I think it's clear enough that God wants us thinking good thoughts. God wants us concentrating on Him and His goodness in any and all situations. Meditate on these things. Chew the cud, as they say. Let it roll around in your mind. Meditate. 9. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, excuse me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul gives himself as an example of this process. And again, the things which you've learned, we are all learning how to be content in all situations. And we have Paul as an example. And as we read here, we'll read it again, we know that Paul was content, satisfied in all circumstances. And when we are, the God of peace will be with us. So we find ourselves back at 10, with these things being true, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. The Philippians wanted to care for Paul, and now was the time to be able to give and to help his ministry. And Paul requesting, letting the need be known for his ministry. And not that I speak in regard to need. This was an opportunity for the Philippians to be blessed by giving of their own time, wealth, talent, whatever. And Paul wanted a blessing that goes to those people when they do those things. And he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, Paul learned this also, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do, you can do, all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Amen. Father, thank you for this word this morning. Father, words cannot express the thanks, Lord, I believe that we have for the scriptures that you have provided to us. Lord, that you have truly given us everything that we need for life and that we need for godliness. And Lord, I pray that if it's not our mindset, that our mindset will come to a place that your plans for us are good, and your plans for us are not evil. So that in everything that comes our way, be it good or be it what we would consider to be bad, Lord, your plan is for good. And that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And Lord, as we learn this, we know, we believe that we can do these things because of Christ Jesus, who lives in us and helps us, gives us the calmness, gives us the faith, gives us trust, Lord, that we can be content in the times that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we have, because we thought the number of people would be small, we don't have a full-blown hospitality table in the back. If you would like a coffee, we have a Keurig machine back there. There is pastry. Okay, good, I'm going back. There's pastry, and if you want some coffee or if you want